Welcome to the 54th episode of VMN. The date is July 9th, 2026. VMN is produced and transmitted from unceded Abenaki territory of so-called Vermont. Today's episode is about the various prosecutions of community defenders around so-called America, which occupies part of Turtle Island, and it's a wake-up call for people in Endekina that this is happening here too, under the sleeping eyes of the supposed activist scene. I'm going to be reading just a little bit from the web about what is happening so we can see what the latest witch hunt is doing. Okay, this is the post-sentencing statement from Benjamin Champagne Song. Benjamin Song is a brave, loving community defender from so-called Texas who has defended community time and time again. He was part of what was called the Prairie Land case. There was a situation, most of the people are already gone home from the demonstration. A cop got there, someone was running away from the cop, and the cop drew his gun and pointed at the back of someone who's running away. Champagne Song did what was called suppressive fire. They shot into the ground to try to scare the cop away. Apparently something ricocheted and nicked the cop. The cop wasn't really hurt, just a nick. And they were sentenced to 100 years for attempted murder when they were trying to defend someone. I get so sick of seeing people defending others and defending themselves and getting prosecuted. Now here's what Champagne has to say. I don't hate anyone. I don't hate cops. I don't hate Trumps. I don't hate Nazis. My beliefs are composed thus. First, that we should help each other. And second, that we should protect each other. I never want to see anyone get hurt. I never want to see good people standing up for what they believe gunned down in the streets. What we also saw happen to Rene Good and Alex Preddy is my worst nightmare. It was the kind of thing I feared for a long time. After dealing with officers who could be reckless, could be bullies, who could be violent. But fear is not hate. Sadness is not hate. Wanting people to live is not hate. So when I was standing in the street on July 4th, 2025, in plain view with reflective safety strips and high visibility clothing, I saw, right in front of my eyes, my worst nightmare. When I saw Lieutenant Thomas Gross stop pursuing and point his gun at the back of a running, unarmed protester. Like he testified, I was terrified. As a firearms instructor and a United States Marine Corps veteran, I understood what I was sawing. I knew what it meant for someone to lean forward into a gun. Like he testified, to prepare for recoil. As the evidence shows, I did not want to hurt anyone. I never had the intent to hurt anyone. I tried my best to avoid hurting anyone. It is impossible to say that I was trying to ambush anyone or planning any violence. I was shocked and surprised and saddened. I'm so grateful for what didn't happen. I'm so grateful that we are not here mourning another death and tragedy, another Alex Preddy, another Rene Good, another Bottom Jean, another Manuel Turan, another Atiana Jefferson, another Philando Castile. Now 22 people have been arrested, have been persecuted, have been tortured. For what? For nothing. None of these people really did anything, and none of these people have anything to do with what happened with me. This is wrong. This is mass punishment. This is collective punishment. This is guilt by association. This is injustice. Back in 1895, the white supremacist and U.S. Senator Pitchfork Ben Tillman gave a speech to the Constitutional Convention of South Carolina on how to use injustice to take power. He said, "How did we recover our liberty? By fraud and violence. We tried to overcome the 30,000 majority by honest means, which was a mathematical impossibility. After bearing these indignities for 8 years, life became worthless. This is how men take power over others, by injustice, by fraud, and violence. That history matters because injustice has always been dangerous. it does not only harm the person standing in court. It spreads. It teaches people to be afraid. It teaches people that the government can decide who is guilty first and look for the reasons afterwards. First, they covered up and hid evidence. Second, they banned every black juror, said no one would question the police. Third, they told me I had no right to protect myself or anyone else. And they told me that I wasn't even allowed to say the word self-defense. As you heard it at the trial, they tortured their own witnesses. American citizens were tortured and terrorized and medically neglected. Three men died in jail last week, by the way. And now a 24-year-old has had a heart attack. A 58-year-old woman said she would die in this case. Mothers, fathers, teachers, students, package workers, programmers, and engineers persecuted and tortured in this case. People are being treated as if their lives do not matter. All of this is bigger than me. I know I am the person standing here. I know I'm the person being judged. But I also know that a case like this can become a warning to everyone else. That if you speak, if you protest, if you try to protect someone, if you're associated with the wrong idea, you can be turned into a symbol instead of treated like a human being. Nothing saddens me more when I think of all these different people and their different families and communities and how they have suffered and how unfairly they have been treated, just like me. Whatever is taken from me is taken from you. It may be these 22 strangers now, but it will be you tomorrow. On June 9th this year, the president of the Southern Poverty Law Center testified that hate has migrated into just government. Into the government. Hate is right here. The government, in its secret motion to give me a life sentence, calls me the embodiment of Antifa. What does that even mean? I'm not a member of a group called Antifa. I'm not a part of any terrorist organization. There is no group called Antifa. Everyone knows that. But this government is so blinded by hate, they've arrested 22 good people for nothing. They want to bury me with an idea. This idea they hate is in the very idea of being against fascism. What kind of people are not against fascism? What kind of people are not against hate and war and genocide and concentration camps that the Nazis brought upon the world? What kind of people would not agree to no kings and no Führers? The hate has migrated into the government. Now that hate is taking power over me. It is taking power over you, over your words, your ideas. When will you be called a domestic terrorist too? When they killed Renee Good and Alex Preti, they went on TV and they called them domestic terrorists the same day, within the hour. When will that happen to you? When I was staying in my home city of Dallas for 11 days, I did fear that I might die at any moment from a government that I think is hateful and vindictive. I did not run because I wanted to escape responsibility. I stayed because I wanted to survive long enough to do the right thing. I don't fear for myself. I fear for all of you. What will you do in this time of great failures and great injustices? What will you do? How will you help others? How will you help yourself? Now, I'm not going to harp on the sentences all that much, but the prison terms went from 22 to 50 years, and then Champagne had 100 years, and most of these people did nothing. They just showed up. Now, there's a similar case in Tacoma, where several people have been convicted, anti-ICE people, for a conspiracy to impede or injure federal officers. For conspiracy, not for doing anything. So they can pull this out of their ass because somebody shoots their mouse off, somebody gets activated and says something on a signal thread. Now, you should keep this in mind. Be careful what you say on, say, even on signal, because it may be read back to you in court. Now that's Spokane. Minneapolis, Minnesota has 15. And most of these people really did the most mild anti-ICE stuff, where they might have gotten in the way of some of these masked thugs. And they're being prosecuted by one of the most powerful governments around. This occupying power of Turtle Island called the United States of America. why am I talking about all this? Well, this podcast was originally called Vermont Movement News. We don't call it that anymore because we don't want to honor the occupying force of Vermont. But that was going back to in history. In this state, there are people facing federal charges. No one's talking about this. There's no support committee that is showing up and that we can see publicly. And I'm hearing from some of these people that they're feeling isolated. I'm not going to say names because I don't want to endanger their legal cases, but it is time to wake up. People in Vermont often feel like they're in a little bubble of safety. It's not safe, especially if you're not white and privileged, and things are coming down that people are not expecting. Be ready. Stand with your neighbors. Stand with the people you love. Do not let them face the monster alone. Okay, that's kind of it. But I'm going to say this again. Please be aware of the cases against your friends and neighbors. Do not let the monster swallow them up in front of your eyes. The gaping maw of the prisons and courts are always a threat to those who challenge the wrongs of the systems. If you like this podcast, please consider sharing, liking it on your social media. Get the word out. I don't really care about promoting this podcast other than the words that are on it. So if you want to do that, share it and like it. Thank you so much, and please start paying attention to the courts that are targeting our friends, our neighbors, even people we don't get along with who are fighting for what is right. So thank you. This has been the 54th episode of VMN. Thank you for listening. Talk to you later.